Hello and welcome to Summer Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. Over 6 months have passed since Israel waged its deadly summer assault on the people of Gaza, yet the effects of that onslaught linger on. According to the UN, over 100,000 homes were damaged or destroyed, affecting around 500,000 people. Many still lack access to water and are living in makeshift dwellings. Compounding the suffering is the lack of reconstruction due to the shortage of building materials. Experts say rebuilding the besieged Gaza Strip will take at least a century at the current rate of progress. And despite the fact that $5.4 billion was pledged in aid by the international community, the vast bulk of this commitment remains undelivered. We'll be discussing the plight of Gaza on today's show, but first here's our reporter Ashraf Channon, who's been talking to some of the many displaced people there.
Thousands of Palestinians in the blockaded Gaza Strip are still suffering from displacement after losing their homes during Israel's 50-day war last summer. Israeli bombardment completely destroyed many neighborhoods in the impoverished territory. According to UN statistics, nearly 100,000 homes were completely or partially destroyed during the recent Israeli war. Many families are still living in UN schools, serving as homeless shelters, while others live in makeshift dwellings near their bombarded homes. People have lost their loved ones and the place they used to call home.
My house and my uncle's house were bombed, so we moved to a UN school in the Jabalia refugee camp, and it was also bombed during the war. Four members of our family were killed, and we became homeless during the war. And we are still homeless, waiting for our homes to be rebuilt, although I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Living conditions for homeless families are harsh, and people see no end in sight to their suffering. Due to lack of building materials, under Israel's crippling blockade, it could take decades to rebuild what Israeli forces destroyed in 50 days. According to the Oxfam charity, rebuilding the war-battered enclave will take at least a century at the current rate of progress.
Our living conditions are extremely difficult. We have never imagined that we will be living this way. As you see around you, we live in tents and tin houses. We only hear promises about rebuilding, but nothing is really happening. Our families can't cope any longer with these miserable living conditions. The world has simply turned a blind eye to our suffering.
The deadly Israeli summer assault made around 500,000 people internally displaced. Months after the end of Israel's 50-day war, the homeless and internally displaced Palestinians continue to live in a state of uncertainty amid what they describe as an international conspiracy of silence. Ashraf Channon, The Sun Will Rise, Gaza.
To discuss the plight of Gaza, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Shahada Abu Salama is a Palestinian artist, blogger, and an MA media student here at SOAS University in London. Shahada was born in the Jabalia refugee camp, where she's lived most of her life. Her widely read blog, Palestine From My Eyes, is the platform that she uses to express herself as a Palestinian youth living under the Gaza blockade. And Khalid Waleed is a PR and communications officer at the EuroPal Forum, which recently organized a seminar in the House of Lords on the politics of Gaza's reconstruction. Khalid also comes from Gaza. Thank you both for coming in today. Shahada, if I could start with you. I mean, obviously, you've just come from Gaza. You're studying here in London now. But what are your family, what are your relatives telling you about the situation there now, 6 months after the Israeli bombardment?
Of course, the people in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, are waking up every day on a daily struggle for survival after this devastating summer assault, which didn't leave anything not affected. People are deeply psychologically and physically also very affected, and it will take time for them to.
You were there at that time, right, when it was happening?
No, I was. I was in Turkey studying. But that was the first experience of experiencing war from outside.
Sure.
Because all the previous wars, I've been there. I know quite well how it is like to be under like every. Under constant pumping and shelling and having your lives and your beloved lives threatened every moment.
I mean, obviously you've come to study here in London. For young people like yourself, I mean, is there anything in Gaza? Is there any hope in Gaza? Are they all trying to leave? Or what is it like for young people in Gaza?
Well, it is very challenging, but people are trying to live in hope. Mm. And just like Mahmoud Darwish once said, a Palestinian, to be a Palestinian is to live on a remedy and a hope that has no remedy.
Yeah.
So, so for us, hope is a main factor for us to survive and keep going, moving beyond our sufferings. And our hope is inspired by our faith and our just cause and our legitimate rights. Mm. And we know for freedom and for a just settlement to happen and for anything to be achieved, we need to pay a price for freedom.
Okay, Khaled, 5.4 billion has been pledged. Hardly any of it has been delivered. Why is that?
Reports from Gaza itself, as Shahid said, the situation is deteriorating. Before we get into that, we probably need to understand the picture of Gaza. Gaza, as myself and Shahid, we both are refugees, born in a refugee camp technically. But the people from Gaza were internally displaced from Palestine, from various parts of Palestine. And that was since the Israeli occupation on Palestine back in the 48. So the people who live in Gaza are a greater deal of mixture between refugees, those people who've been exiled, those people who've actually lived through a number of hardships, a number of situations, including my own grandparents. And having these countless number of wars and invasions and aggressions against Palestinians just adds insult to injury. So regardless of these sponsors, regardless of these projects that have been actually brought into Gaza, people have already lived through years of suffering, which I think it's a clear sign to the world that it needs to be an intervention, a clear intervention within the Gaza Strip.
But if I can direct you back onto that question, they have pledged to reconstruct Gaza, and it's just not happening. Why?
It wasn't the first time that the international community had pledged to reconstruct Gaza, but the most recent conference in Sharm el-Sheikh was clearly that there will be processes. And going back to why, there are various elements why those pledges or those projects haven't managed to get through to Gaza. Mm. Some of them have. But at a very, very small scale. Looking at the Israel's aggression, which doesn't allow people to even investigate or even people to do some local search on what needs to be rebuilt. But also Egypt, since the coup in Egypt over a year and a half ago, didn't allow a lot of these projects to go through the Rafah crossing, which is an important crossing to the Palestinians.
We're going to explore that a little bit later in the show. For the moment, we're going to move on. We try our best here to include your views and comments on this show, which you've been leaving on our social media pages. So here's Camelia Shambayati with what you've been saying about the situation in Gaza.
Welcome to this week's social media roundup. Now, lots of people have been vocal about their outrage over the dire state of Gaza. Let's take a look at a few comments people have been posting. Max from the US says, "The Gaza Strip and the continued suffering of the Palestinian people is a human rights violation of epic proportions and a crime against all of humanity. Indeed, it is the greatest moral dilemma of our time." Also, Yaqub from Canada makes an urgent call to rebuild Gaza. He says, "It's the duty of all Muslims to assist rebuilding Gaza. This is one of the rare moments to exercise what Islam is all about, to unite and help others when in need." And finally, Rick from the UK shared his frustration. He says, "How can the world sit on its hands with its mouth shut and continue to watch this? When, oh when, will the butcher called Israel be stopped?" Moving on now, the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, have been very active on social media. They have already launched a campaign called #AskHamas, so users in the West could ask them questions directly on Twitter. And they're also producing some engaging video content. Hamas's military wing, the Al-Qassam Brigades, recently tweeted a link to a reconstruction video that is claimed to be based on real events during the latest Israeli offensive on Gaza. The video, entitled Mission Abort, shows that the Al-Qassam brigades had aborted a missile attack on Israeli soldiers in order to avoid killing Israeli children who were playing football nearby. This is despite the fact that dozens of children were being killed by Israel at that time. And speaking of viral videos, this next clip on YouTube shows students at Bethlehem University celebrating Palestinian heritage by performing the annual traditional Palestinian wedding show. The event was designed to remind the young Palestinians of the beauty of their cultural heritage, which the Israeli occupation is trying to destroy. And that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please do follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep up with the latest on the show.
Shahad, before that report, we were talking about the fact that all this money has been pledged and hardly any of it has come through. I mean, what's your take on that? Did you expect it to come through? Why do you think it hasn't been delivered?
Well, it's very outraging that this is happening, but it's something honestly to be expected, because we lived 67 years of settler colonialism, encouraged by the international community's unconditional support to Israel, and because of that, Israel continues to act with impunity as a country above law, and crosses all red lines, and impose more suffering and more.
So was it, just so I can understand, was it a big PR exercise that they you know, were assembled in front of the world's media and they said, we're going to give all this money, and it was just a big, you know, it was just for publicity, and they never intended to deliver it? It is
partially also aimed against the determination of people. They want to break the determination of people who were, during the assault on Gaza, packing up the resistance, because they found no other choice but resistance to get their demands, their legitimate rights accomplished. They were asking for nothing but legitimate rights, basic rights, such as living in dignity and freedom and having access to a movement in and outside the suffocating
field. I know Israel and I think some Western countries have said that, you know, this money may be misappropriated by Hamas, for example. They might use it for, building new tunnels or, to rearm, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to that?
I find this absolutely not true, because Hamas as well is under the pressure of the international community, and what is suffered by the Palestinian people in Gaza is also suffered by Hamas. There's no dichotomy between Hamas, the leadership, and the Palestinian people,
Fair enough. And Khalid, before the break, before that report rather, we were talking about the blockade. Obviously, another fundamental point is that Gaza is still besieged. Mm. Israel, we kind of expect it from them, but Egypt, you'd think they might have a bit more solidarity with the Palestinian brothers?
Yeah, I mean, the situation is goes beyond Gaza itself. The situation in the region is important, following the Arab revolution in a number of Arab countries, that would lead to some real democracy in that region, where then justice will be applied and Palestinians will eventually get their rights.
Hasn't happened though, has it?
Hasn't happened, unfortunately. I mean, what we see is probably the complete opposite there. Egypt has started a coup. Some other countries have also not really achieved what they need to achieve. However, going back to the Palestine question, what's needed, as Shahid said, is a clear international stance on the situation in Gaza. Palestinians were given the right to vote for their political party. Hamas was elected as a result of that. So then Hamas, was supposed to be given the right to carry on their term, and that applies on other countries, like in Egypt, for instance. When the president was elected, then unfortunately,
I mean, Hamas was recently taken off the terrorist list, wasn't it, in the EU?
It was an
positive
attempt,
step.
It was an attempt by the European Court due to the lack of evidence that were given to the court. So Hamas was eventually removed from the court. There is an appeal against that decision. So that decision is being reviewed. reviewed again by the court. The point is that Palestinians have already accepted the democratic process. They've accepted taking steps towards political pressure to politicize the issue, and that's what's been done. Abbas is leading on that.
But Khaled, do you think that there are any signs that this blockade might be lifted one day?
It will definitely be lifted as long as the international community adds more pressure on the Israelis, but also takes responsibility. I think what we've seen recently across Europe here, the Palestinian recognition, a number of European countries and parliaments showed some kind of recognition, a symbolic recognition towards Palestinians. For me, that means in another way that they are actually telling Israel enough is enough. I think it's time to recognize Palestinian rights, but as we know, it's not enough at all. Okay. You need to have a pressure, and pressures are like sanctions against Israel. The BDS movement needs to be even led by some European countries and also supporting Palestinians.
But I'm going to stop you there, Khaled, only because we want to move on, and we're going to conclude this discussion in a few minutes' time. With the dearth of information about the Palestinian struggle in the English language media, we really do try to compensate for that on this show. So here's a quick roundup of the stories from Palestine that you may not have seen on the mainstream media.
Israeli politicians held a series of meetings this week in the Knesset to hear recommendations about who will form the next coalition regime. After a resounding election victory for his Likud party, Benjamin Netanyahu is assured of getting that nod. He now appears poised to set up a coalition with the supposedly centrist Kulanu party and several religious and ultra-Orthodox parties. Meanwhile, in more signals of a growing rift between the US and Israel, President Barack Obama has said he gave Netanyahu a stern talking to during a recent phone call, chastising him for his tough stance on the creation of a Palestinian state. According to reports, Obama said that he also criticized the Prime Minister for drumming up voter fear that Palestinians in Israel were voting in droves. A report by a special UN investigator says that Israel deliberately targeted civilian homes during last summer's attack on Gaza. The report by Makarim Wibisono of Indonesia said that most victims were families killed in missile strikes on their own homes, usually at night. The UN estimates that over 2,250 Palestinians were killed in the onslaught, of which 1,563 were civilians, including 538 children. And finally, 15 Palestinians being held in Israeli prisons are suffering from cancer and are at risk of dying, the Hassam Association of Palestinian Prisoners and Ex-Prisoners has said. The organization blamed Israeli authorities for contributing to an environment in which Palestinian prisoners faced a heightened risk of cancer due to high levels of radiation inside prison cells.
Shahad, we've got about 5 minutes left before the show finishes, but I want to ask you about, you know, the internal situation in Gaza. I mean, we were talking about the blockade and how that's affecting people's lives. I mean, is Gazan society still, I know you guys are suffering a lot, but still, is there a sense of solidarity in Gaza? Is society falling apart, or is it still, are you still united as Palestinians?
Well, of course, this is something for granted because it's the only way forward. Mm. People have no choice but to keep going forward. But the situation, as you said, is very, very devastating and very difficult. And now 1.8 million are effectively living under slow death sentence. And this slow death sentence doesn't go back to only the aftermath of the summer assault, but it goes back to almost seven decades of colonization and occupation. Mm. And the situation has to be tackled from its roots. It saddens me, it makes me angry actually that we're now, until now, talking about the reconstruction of Gaza, where we have to actually tackle the main issue, which is the political condition, the political reason behind all this. The political reason is the continuing of the settler colonialism of this the Zionist yeah. regime. And this has to be tackled, and the international community have to be responsible for this, because they are the ones who gave the green light for Israel sure. for Israel to continue yeah. doing what they're doing.
Khalid, any signs of hope at all?
I think you would, if you look at recently at the Israeli elections, by having Netanyahu.
That's a sign of hope.
No, it's not actually, but as a criminal, as Netanyahu being re-elected yeah. in that site, it tells us the sign of hope is having you know, more pressure, and we see that okay. here in Europe, we see that in America. Barack Obama's statements clearly shifting.
I guess in a way, yeah. To have Netanyahu as the face of Israel is in a way advantageous for the Palestinians, right?
It does, because he's the one that, yeah. that committed crimes against Palestinians. Yeah. Eventually, he would need to be behind bars. I think, looking at, as I said, Barack Obama's statement recently on Netanyahu's decision, I mean, Netanyahu's decision not to allow Palestinians having their own state, Europe is I would say, uprising against the Israeli aggressions against Palestinians. We see that. We've been seeing it in Sweden. We will see it in other countries. The Labour government in this country, or some of the seniors within the Labour government, they said if we have a government, we take the government, we will eventually look into recognising Palestine as a government.
Yes, go ahead, sorry.
Just following up on the result of the elections, the yeah. Israeli elections, I think the result shows that Israel is now actually digging its own graves, and what happened during the elections showed the real face of Netanyahu, the apartheid policies experienced against the Palestinian citizens of Israel. And this tells us that Palestinians everywhere suffer, whether in within Palestine, within historic Palestine, or outside Palestine. It has to drag us back to the very existence of the Israeli state, which is built on the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people, and all this, including the humanitarian crisis that are lived by the Palestinians in Gaza, in Lebanese camps, in Yarmouk camps. Everything is nothing but a consequence to the political situation, yeah. which is Israel.
Just to end, Khalid, I mean, obviously there's a cycle where there's an assault on Gaza, there's 2 years of peace, there's some kind of truce, there's another assault on Gaza. Do you expect the same thing to happen in a couple of years' time when the political time is right? In 30 seconds?
This is the fourth aggression against Palestinians. It will unfortunately not end unless Israel has been stopped. Israel will need to be stopped by Palestinian unity, by Arab unity, by Muslim unity, by the international community to be united and to really have a great pressure over Israel. We hope that Europe will have that, will have a lead on that, but we have to work hard. I think politically, as Shah said, you know, there needs to be a more yeah. structured political will to support Palestinians.
Okay. All right. Well, we could talk more, but thank you very much, guys, for coming in today. That's all the time we have for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests, and don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.